William N. Robeson presents
Ecce Homo, Behold the Man, a symphony of reality written and directed by Per Lorentz.
Tonight, the Columbia Workshop is proud to present Per Lorentz directing his first documentary radio play, Ecce Homo, Behold the Man. This brilliant young critic and director, whose motion pictures, The Plow That Broke the Plains and The River, have made film history, tonight brings his documentary technique to a new medium, the radio. Based on official reports and on hundreds of case histories collected by government field men, Mr. Lorentz has created a factual drama. The Columbia Workshop presents Ecce Homo, Behold the Man.
This is industrial America.
Boston.
Boots and shoes, fish and wool.
Lowell. Quincy.
Reamers and dyes, silk and paper. Sewing machines and motorcycles.
Waterbury. Bridgeport.
Airplanes and ammunition. Brass fittings and cotton shirts. Submarines and watches.
Patterson. Jersey City.
Paint and varnish. Vaseline and patent medicine. Electric wire and asphalt, leather goods and silk.
Philadelphia, Camden.
Radios and locomotives, streetcars and carpets. Chemicals and furnaces, hosiery and turbines. Children's clothes and boilers.
Pittsburgh, Wheeling.
Tin plates and fire bricks, air brakes and plumbing fixtures. Tube steel and freight cars, anthracite and mine machinery. Aluminum and plate glass, drawing instruments and chassis.
Buffalo, Syracuse.
Tin cans and roller bearings, wax candles and soda ash. Mincemeat and typewriters, washing machines and light bulbs.
Cleveland, Youngstown.
Nuts and bolts and printing presses. Diesel engines and multigraph machines. Electric batteries and steel forgings.
Akron, Toledo.
Airplane motors and rubber tires. Beer bottles and spark plugs. Steel hooks and microphones, spray guns and paper bags.
This is industrial America.
Detroit, Pontiac.
Automobiles and trailers, trucks and buses, taxicabs and coaches, stop forgings and steel bushings, carburetors and paint, coal stokers and tear gas bombs.
Chicago, Gary.
Bacon and beef and telephones, furniture and pipe organs, doors and sashes and fridge beams, marine motors and cotton gloves, transmission chains and saws.
Indianapolis, South Bend.
Threshing machines and whistles, tractors and ball bearings, fruit jars and land lawnmowers, outboard motors and ornamental fences.
Kansas City, St. Louis.
Grain elevators and pipelines, Pullman cars and beer, plows and drugs and breakfast food.
Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Silos and skis, macaroni, mattresses and cattle scales.
This is industrial America, the power and glory of the richest country in the world, the factory of 7 million men and women.
Worker number 7785. Worker number 7786. Worker number 7787. Worker number 7788. Worker number 7789. Worker number 7790.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the straight line. In 2 minutes before your very eyes, you will see 30,000 different pieces of material assembled into one machine. 2 weeks ago, these parts were still in the mines of Pennsylvania and West Virginia, the oil fields of Texas and Oklahoma, and the copper shafts of Montana, the iron mountains of Minnesota. They have come from the strip mills of Ohio, from the textile mills of the South, tested and checked, processed and perfected in plants as intricate as this. Along these two steel tracks, half a mile long, you will see steel, iron, brass, tin, lead, zinc, aluminum, chromium, and nickel. You will see rubber, mica, glass, cotton, mohair, all fit into place, magically assembled into one tested perfect piece of machinery, the American automobile. 2 days ago, these parts were moving through 100 factories. On 100 straight lines, they received the skill of thousands of men and women in order that they might reach this assembly plant in a state of perfection. You will see a new car drive off the line every half a minute. Here, through the vigilance and skill of workers, inspectors, managers, and scientists, men and machines create a perfect instrument. Here is a saga of human ingenuity, planning and coordination, the glory of industrial America. Here is the straight line.
Number 7735.
Engine block and valve seat.
Number 7738.
Crankshaft and connecting rod.
Number 7740.
Fenders and hood.
Number 7743.
Rear spring.
Number 7745.
Rear axle and differential.
Number 7748.
Shock absorbers and gas tank.
Number 7750.
Front axle and spring.
Number 7754.
Drive shaft and transmission.
Number 7757.
Engine block and installation.
Number 7760.
Crankshaft and valve seat.
Number 7764.
Piston and connecting rods.
Number 7766.
Spray paint and drying oven.
Number 7780.
Brake tubing.
Number 7783.
Wheels and tires.
Number 7785.
Steering gear and radiator.
Number 7788.
Doors and braces.
Number 7790.
Side and top welding.
Time study department. Watson in sales speaking. We're 4,500 units off this week. Right.
Production, Jenkins and time study. We're 4,500 units off. I'm sending the breakdown over.
Hello, Casey. Production. We're cutting down to 3 days a week.
Number 7790, application for release. Name, Jack Layton. Age, 43. Height, 6 feet 1. Weight, 185. Place of birth, Louisa, Kentucky. Father, dead. Mother, dead. Married a single? Single. Served in U.S. Army, Navy, or Marine Corps? Sergeant, U.S. Army, Infantry, 386th Regiment, 77th Division. Present employment? None. Real estate? None. Ever insured? Yes. Any insurance now? None. Property other than household goods? Automobile. Any income from blind or old age pensions, lodges, labor unions, U.S. government, or any other source? None. Cash securities, stocks and bonds, mortgages, certificates? Cash, $35. No other securities, etc. 7790 first paper passed. 7790 first application for release passed. 7790
is headed west.
7790 west on Highway 40.
West of Gary, west of Chicago Heights and Aurora.
7790 is headed west.
In a 36 sedan and 35 bucks in his pocket. Name, age, occupation. I remember when we went down to the courthouse. You could see the pine stretching clear across to Virginia then. You could kick a pheasant out of a laurel bush. You could go hook a bass at the head of the riffles and work a corn patch all in one day. I remember when we went down to the courthouse. They had the old boys in the fight for a march with us. And I remember how Judge Adams got red in the face and waved his arms. Going to France to save the women and children. They kept picking up Ben Davis and putting him on the steps. Boy, was he drunk. I remember the kids didn't go to school. They stood on the freight cars and waved their little flags when the train pulled out. Yeah, it was hot in Chillicothe.
7790 riding with a million men on wheels.
The cotton pickers riding on Route 90, out of New Orleans for Houston, through to San Antone, north to Oklahoma and Arizona, and the new cotton field.
When we came home, we used to sit on the courthouse steps and watch for the new cars going through town. They said it was a war, but they cut down the trees while we were away and put up electric light poles on Main Street. They said times are different. The chemical plant killed a bass clear down past Black's Ford, and you'd walk 10 miles to find a clear stream. They put a French 75 on a courthouse square. We used to sit all day Sunday talking and looking at the new cars.
7790 riding on the highway of the unemployed.
The fruit tramps riding on the Delta Road, over from Jacksonville across the continent clear to California. Up Route 99 for lemons and oranges, prunes and peaches. Up past Fresno and Washington and Oregon for apples.
The man said that he'd give us all $100 in a railroad fare. Said they needed strong boys in the north. They gave us $10 a day in action. We bought silk shirts and got drunk every night. We stayed out all night and slept at the machines and the foreman used to throw wrenches at us. That was crazy then. You could spend all night at the amusement park and buy silk shirts. The body plant, you'd get $20 if you worked hard. We were 27 then. I remember that tough inspector in Detroit. He caught me sitting down and he chased me clear out of the plant and he had my check waiting at the cage as I went by.
7790 riding west on 40, west of the flat corn belts of Indiana and Illinois.
The pickers riding west on Route 80, for lettuce, peas, onions, and spinach. Up 87 to Denver and Sheridan. Along the side of the Rockies to Billings and Great Falls for sugar beet.
I remember in 27 when the production department said we couldn't weld zinc. We got the gas tank well going in 6 weeks. They gave us a bonus then. I remember in 29 when we built up 15,000 units a day. And then they put us on short time and the married men only got 4 days a week. And then they put that 20-ton press in plant number 10 and got kids to stamp out tops and fenders, pushing buttons and punching out body tops and fenders.
7790 heading west, west across the Mississippi.
The wheat hands heading west on Route 10 out of Minneapolis. West across the northern tabletop to Fargo and Grand Forks, Valley City and Bismarck. Over the divide from Miles City to Missoula and Spokane.
Name, age, and occupation. They'll sit around the union halls and the married men will get the first relief cards. They'll go to meetings and the old men will get the first short time. They'll talk politics and cuss and wait for the food cards. But there's country in the West I've never seen. They said the youngsters get all the jobs, but the youngsters never carry duck boards out of breast or the mud up to your knees. They said the bums go west, but they're building dams in the desert. They're cutting down mountains.
7790 riding with a million men on wheels.
Coffee and hamburger, 10 cents.
We fix flats.
Chicken dinners and tourists.
Secondhand tires, free water.
Idle rest, hot dogs and pop.
Today's special, pork and beans, 15 cents.
Do drop in, coffee free to truck drivers.
The Hollywood cabins, 50 cents a night.
Tourist car, light and water.
Welcome to the city, rotary luncheon, 12 on Tuesdays.
Secondhand tires, free water and air.
We fix flats.
Yeah, what'll it be?
I'll fill her up.
Yes, sir. You come from the east?
Yeah.
You going far?
No, pretty far.
Well, you'll have lots of company. I was telling a fellow the other day, so many people on the highway, I said, wondered me if there's anybody at home at all. Well, that'll be $1.10 with tax. Now, what else can I do for you?
Give me a box of crackers at Copeland's and cheese.
Store cheese or rat cheese?
Store cheese.
Mama, bring out a box of those crackers and some store cheese. Hey, come over here and sit in shade, brother. We got the best shade in Kansas, I always say.
Thanks, I'm doing well.
Oh, looks like I got another customer. There, hi there. Did I fill her up?
No, sir. 3 gallons would be about right.
Yes, sir.
I see. You got a small crowbar around here I can borrow?
Well, Mama, where's that little crowbar I had last week?
Look on the floor in the back of my sedan, you'll find one.
Why, thanks.
Well, that'll be 46 cents with tax. Having trouble with your tire, huh?
Yeah. Bent a rim running on a flat. Mind if I fix it, yeah?
Well, sure. Go right ahead. Yeah, I'll sit over here in the shade and watch you. Yes, sir, it's the best shade in Kansas.
It feels good to me after that hot road.
Yeah. You said you're from East, huh?
Yeah.
Well, how is it back there?
Oh, it's sort of quiet.
I never been East, but I found Mama the other day. Man sit right here on this porch and just meet people from all over. Now, take the other day. I was sitting here and I looked down the road and, well, it was hot. Well, it's just hot just today. And I see a woman carrying a violin and a man carrying a baby coming down the road. Well, see, that doggone baby weren't more than about a year old. They come a-dragging in. Young people, they was. And asked them where they's from. And you know where? California. Well, seeing as how they come so far, I asked them in to sit a while. Well, seems this fella played in a band, but he went broke. How far are you going, I said. East, he said. How far east, I said. Well, the girl finally says that she's got an aunt in Brooklyn, Clare, New York. They ain't seen her in 10 years, but they figure she's around somewhere and'll put them up. Well, Mama gave them one of our 50-cent cabins and fed them up. We got them a ride with a fella going in Chicago. But I told Mama, I says, I'd sure like to see that aunt's face when they walk in with that baby.
Thanks for the use of the crowbar, partner.
Oh, that's all right.
You got her fixed already?
Yeah. I think I'll just cool off a minute.
Yeah, sit down. Like I told this fella, the best shade in Kansas.
Yeah, feels good to me.
My goodness, look at that fella boy. Mama, bring that water can out. Got a fella on fire out here.
Yeah, I thought it got hot in Alabama, but this Kansas... Now, it's really hot.
Hey, brother, this is midwinter to what was in 36. Now, that's when it was hot. I was sitting right here on this porch when old man Jones, he's got 2 sections of land west over there. He comes running in to call the Abilene Fire Department. His wheat field just naturally blew up and caught fire so hot. It's a gospel truth. Spontaneous combustion or something, they said. Just give it to the man, Mama.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am.
Hey, you better cool it off before you put that in, or you'll have spontaneous combustion. Well, hiya. Yes, sir? What'd it be?
Well, thank you for some drinking water if you got any around. And a can of tobacco.
Well, just go right inside, brother, and Mama will take care of you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd like some of that water myself.
Well, now, there's a bucket and a dipper on the porch. You help yourself. Best water in Kansas, I always say.
Thanks.
Back there, don't it? Yeah. There's no use to a man unless he's got a family. Fellow traveling alone wants to get somewhere. Hey, you heading east?
I'm going west.
I'm aiming for Iowa.
Well, I'm heading east. Thought maybe I'd find some company.
My old grandmother always said poor people ought to travel together. So I'm heading east.
I'm from east. I'll tell you about it. My partner and me, we set the first machinery in the biggest textile mill on the Cape. There's no two better mill mechanics in Massachusetts, we used to say. And when they shut the mills down, 31, we watched them sitting there with their broken windows, just like Blind, gray old men. And the fog's drifting in from the vineyard. Yeah, we sat there and watched them. And then we took summer people for boat rides and fish for bait and waited. We helped them tear out the machinery and we watched them take down the brick. The mills is moving south, they said. But we're New England men. So we bought a trailer. We went over to the lakes. They'll need mill men in the new factories, we said. It was cold in Michigan. My partner had a dog. But we give him to a fella and got a cat. Cat could find his own food. Well, they didn't need mechanics, they said. And we sold the trailer. My partner took his share and went home. Going on relief, he figured. But I'm heading south where the mills is. If it's cotton mills, they'll need machinists, I told him. Yep, there's work in the south.
Brother, there's work in the south. There's work for 8 million people. Planting cotton, chopping cotton, picking cotton, following the sun in the hot fields. There's work in the new cotton mills. Work enough at $8 a week. The lint of choking you, and the kids and the store man leaving you behind every Saturday. My granddaddy came over from Carolina before my daddy was born. Cleared himself a place in the pine. His people raised cotton for them. In 17, we had 150 acres in the clear. And cotton went from 50 cents to 6 cents in a week. The bank busted. We held on, but we had to go shares in 30. He never been ahead since. Sometimes it seemed like the very fields are tired. Now they're talking about chopping cotton with machines. They say they're going to sell them used and plant it and pick it and chop it and run it right over the mills on machines. Well, when my women folks went to the mills, I said, I'm going north. Why, I read where a fella died up there and left $9 billion. I said, I'm going north where the mills pay you enough for radios and movies. I said, I'm going up where the money is.
They said they're jumping off bridges in Akron. They said they're mumbling the bread lines, but the machine and the men are there. I remember when they told the Swede you've got to cut up 40 ships. They said it'd take 2 years to scrap 40 ships. And I remember how the Swede rigged up a disc saw and we cut them down 2 in a week. Well, the machines are still there. I'm heading west where they're moving mountains.
It took me west when I was 6 years old. My father moved me from Missouri. They said my lungs was bad, that the river was bad for my lungs. You could see the tan grass waving for 50 miles out there then. Nights I used to cry when the Rock Island whistled across the plains and the coyotes answered. I used to cry and once I tried to run away. Then they gave me a pony and a heifer of my own, and I never wanted to go back to Missouri. When I was 21, my father gave me a section of land. My brother and I ran 3 sections in 17. Then we went to war. And they plowed up the ranch. Told my father it was patriotic, so they plowed it all while we were away. They brought the tractors and the combines. Fellows used to come clear from Chicago, plant a crop, go away. Suitcase farmers, we call them. They used to plow 1,000 acres a week before the dust came. We stuck it 6 years. We sat 6 years and watched the dust. We watched the dust drift over the windows. Took all fall to push the dust off the fields so you could raise another crop of dust the next spring. So we hit the highway in 36. I'll tell you about the West. There's work cutting grapes for a cent a tray. Money for gas enough to get you to the next camp. There's work picking cotton at 10 cents an hour. Living in a migratory camp. Eating beans and meat the butcher throws away. And there's the nights in camp. With the children crying and the woman staring at you. For a man can't stand it. I said I'd drown mine before I'd raise kids that way. So I'm headed for Iowa. My wife's following the crops with my brother, but I'm leaving the kids with kin in Iowa so they'll know what a home's like. Maybe I'll go back.
They had to let the dynamiters down the side of the canyon on ropes at Boulder Dam. They blew up a mountain and made a lake in a desert and built the highest dam in the world.
But you can't eat dams.
They're changing the course of the second biggest river in the country, Grand Coulee.
Yeah, but they can't figure out how to feed 11 millions of us.
They hit quicksand up there. So they stuck brine pipes in and froze her and then dug it out.
But the big boys have the machines. There's nothing but relief for the little men.
There's men and machines and there's room. There'll be water enough for thousands of farms up there.
Yeah, but the big boys have the money.
There's room enough for 30 million people. Why, man, they're building the biggest piece of machinery in the world.
But what'll you do when they finish?
They can build plenty more. They can make the desert green. Maybe they'll build a green city. Maybe they'll start east and build her all over again. Maybe there'll be farms for the little men. They can move mountains, and they can shove rivers around. There's men and machines, and there's sun and land and room for a man to turn around in. And there's a man-sized job to be done.
I have been here in the water. I have a hundred perishing men. They have built an inn and altar in the
I've just heard the Columbia Workshop's presentation of Ecce Homo, an industrial symphony written and directed by Per Lorentz, whose motion pictures, The Plow That Broke the Plains and The River, have stimulated millions of American citizens to a deeper understanding of their nation's problems. Bernard Herrmann conducted the orchestra, and William N. Robeson, director of the workshop, supervised the production. Is keenly interested in the reactions of the American public to Mr. Lorentz's treatment of the vital contemporary problem of men and the machine. Would you please give us your honest comment, your suggestions, your criticism? Merely address the Columbia Workshop, care of the Columbia Network, New York City. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.